on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. And this is our February 5th, 2026 edition of Invest Talk. I am host of Invest Talk, Justin Klein, and this hour is dedicated to you. And a lot's going on in markets. You see a lot of red, markets rolling over. Talked about this and the potential for a Q1 pullback in markets, and really driven right now by software stocks, the AI trade reversing in many ways, and foreign investors pulling money out of the US. And so this is all driving trends for 2026. And, you know, does this mean we're going to a bear market? You know, potentially, but also most likely not, because there's still a decent economy with pretty good liquidity and a Fed easing cycle, all of that. And so we're going to unpack all this today and answer your finance and investment questions. Whatever's on your mind, we want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is the number, as always, to get through and ask whatever you have to ask. And in just a bit, I'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm calling regarding a ETF, Global X Super Dividend US ETF. Stock symbol is DIV. Wanted to get your thoughts on it. Wondering if it's a good time to get in. I look forward to your answer. Thank you for all you do.
All right, looking at DIV. This is the Super X Super Dividend US ETF. And isn't it another one of those ETFs where you look at it on its face, you think you hear global, I think international. Thing is, the fund family is Global X, but it's at the end, it says US ETF. So it's US stocks. Now, it's interesting here is that still 7.5% of this portfolio is non-US equities. So it's not a pure US equities play, but I kind of like that. But I'd rather own something a little bit more international. Now, the good thing here is that there are no tech stocks in this. These are all mainly real estate, so a lot of REITs in here, consumer defensives, consumer staples, 20% utilities, 16% energy. I'm okay with that mix. I would want a little more industrials. That's only about 10%. Materials only about 5%. I'd want that to be a little higher. So it's just kind of okay. And if you look at the performance, this year it's been pretty good. Up about 10% on the year. But last year, it was sucking wind, only up 3.1%. And if you look going back over 10 years, it's only up 5.77%. That is the 10-year total return. That is the worst within its category over the last 10 years. And so I just can't get on board. Is it going to turn around and suddenly be a top performer after the last 10 years being a terrible performer? Yeah, sure. Part of that is that it's a dividend-focused ETF and it leans on the value side of the market, and value had been underperforming and now it's starting to outperform. So I think it could be better. But ultimately, as I said before, dividend investing is just a closet value investing style. And so I would focus more on an ETF that maybe is small cap value, just like this one is, but is a better long-term performer and not just focus on dividend payers. And then if you look at the price, its expense ratio is about 45 basis points, so 0.45% per year, which is not low, not high, kind of in the middle. So you're getting poor returns with about average, maybe slightly above average, actually, expenses for an ETF. So I think there's much better alternatives with your money if you're looking for small cap value, ones that will probably outperform and be a little cheaper. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of time. We have 45 minutes to cover a lot of topics today. And we're going to focus mainly on tax season and the refund stimulus that is heading everyone's way. How is that going to impact the market? Okay. And then we also have questions. We have other topics on the docket about the dollar. The dollar is likely to fall further. And what does that mean for the global financial system? What does that mean for your wallet, your investments, etc.? And then productivity. What's interesting here is that productivity is actually doing very good, not just here in the US, but abroad as well. So by many metrics, businesses are doing more with less around the world. And that is a positive for corporate profits, maybe not good for societal cohesion, but certainly it is good for profits. So we'll dig into that if we have time. And then inflation. Is it heating back up? Well, signs are that it is. So we'll talk about that as well. So a lot to talk about on today's show. We also have voice bank calls. One is on the Vanguard Total International Stock Fund, VXUS, and then the Analog Devices, ADI. And of course, we have some questions that came in via the comment section on the InvestTalk YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHARP. We're going to do a quick break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk Voice Bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or an AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHARP. Next up, I will comment on today's market activity.
When you tell your friends about InvestTalk and they ask you why you listen, let them know there are many reasons, and one is parallel investing. From KPP Financial and InvestTalk host Justin Klein. Parallel investing means Justin invests right alongside KPP Financial clients. He makes the same trade for KPP Financial on the same day, at the same price, and the same percentages as KPP clients. There's no front running and no special treatment. In this way, Justin and KPP Financial share the same risks and the same potential for success. Parallel investing aligns the interests of Justin and KPP Financial with those of his clients. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your questions about parallel investing. And you can learn more anytime at investtalk.com. The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a look at the market today, and it was another bloody day, and the big story was Bitcoin. Bitcoin continues to just suck wind, now trading around 61,000. 61,000 continues to just plummet, really, and shouldn't shock anybody. I've talked about this for the better part of 6 months now. The time to buy Bitcoin will be not in 2026. It will be in 2027. So who knows where the final bottom is, but ultimately it is in a strong downtrend. Liquidity is drying up. And especially when so many portfolios, and I've said this before, Bitcoin is not a safe asset. It's highly sensitive to liquidity. It is highly sensitive to how well the NASDAQ is doing. And the NASDAQ has peaked back in October. And that's not coincidentally when Bitcoin really started to take a nosedive, and that peaked in early October. So Bitcoin peaked in early October, NASDAQ peaked in late October. Once again, a leading indicator, okay? And so that's what I've been saying. It's hard for me to see the market breaking out with Bitcoin just not doing very well. And obviously, we're going to see a five handle at some point, probably relatively soon. But, these things are prone to massive quick bounces. Wouldn't shock me to see that over the coming couple of weeks. So sentiment is getting pretty bad and, big, big down day. But that's really, really the story that everyone has to be paying attention to at this moment, because other companies in the market are struggling as well. Google had earnings. It was down, but only down about 0.5%. So it kind of hung in there, even though their CapEx spend is headed higher. But you had names like Microsoft down 5%. Software continues to take it on the chin. Amazon down 4.4% on the day. And I believe after hours that earnings, and the last time I saw, it was down about 10, 12% after hours. So you're going to get a, you're getting another whammy, yeah, down 11% right now, below $200 per share on Amazon. So rough couple days for the Mag 7, especially. Palantir down 7% again today. You had Salesforce down another 5, Oracle down 7. So a lot of red on the screen. Now, there's a decent amount of green. You still had consumer staples that eked out a gain. Some of the healthcare names were up. Not a lot, but there was some green on the board there. And in the finance space, a lot of the insurance companies were strong and had a little bit of a gain. You saw, what else? Industrial names hung in there as well. So it wasn't really all bad, but certainly that rollover, as I've been saying, in the tech stocks and AI related names, they're getting more follow through, and I don't see that abating over the medium term. Now, are we kind of at a, maybe a sentiment checkpoint where everything's being thrown out and you get some sort of a bounce based on sentiment? I think that's certainly possible, but this is really cementing, in my mind, the trend for 2026. You saw that in the fourth quarter. You saw this starting a bit in the fourth quarter. And it's not shocking to see it fall through this in the new year, because when something's outperforming, like AI-related stocks, like growth stocks, and in the fourth quarter, the opposite happens, it's kind of a canary in the coal mine once again, where people don't want to take the gains. So the fact that it's weak while people are afraid to take the gains for the year, it means that there are a lot of potential sellers on the sideline. And you've seen throughout this year so far, that has built on itself. And you see a lot of these names take it on the chin. And yeah, just some big, big movers today. You had Peloton that was down about 25%. On the day, Canadian Goose down about 20 as well. Estee Lauder down 19. Marathon Holdings related to Bitcoin, that down about 18% on the day. And so this is, once again, the trend is your friend. And the trend now is out of those bits in the sky and into the molecules in the ground. Whether that is gold or silver, even oil is hanging in there. A little bit down day to day, but it's now in an uptrend. So from a sector perspective, you're seeing large gaps in performance. And that should tell you something about what's happening in today's market. What are the news with it? The JOLTS data, that came in at 6.54 million. Consensus was 7.25 million. Just job openings. Think about that. It missed by 10%. Now, the reading in November was 6.93, so analysts thought it would bounce back, but it didn't. November was revised down. December job openings were revised down. It's the lowest level of job openings since September of 2020. The rate of job openings fell month over month to 3.9% from 4.2% in November. Fell most notably in professional and business services. This is the AI impact. Retail, trade, finance, and insurance, AI impact there. Initial claims came in at 231,000. So that's another bad sign for the labor market. And what I'm seeing is a stagflationary environment really creeping in on us. And the market didn't like that. Challenger reported U.S. employers announced 108,000 layoffs in January. That's up 205% from December and the highest January total since 2009. So not good numbers. Gold finished down 1.2%. Silver ended down 9.1%. So you're getting kind of broad-based selling. And we're certainly in a risk-off moment, that's for sure. Now we're heading to a break, but I'm here ready to tackle your questions now at 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I've heard you say multiple times that you prefer shorter duration treasury bonds. Can you explain to me why it is more advisable?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
This is Steve from Gardnerville, Nevada. First of all, I'd like to really appreciate and thank you guys for your show, your podcast. I think they're very useful and very informative. I'm currently in an order of analog devices, DI. And wanted to get your take on what you think the outlook looks like for the company over the next, say, 12 to 24 months. It has been performing better than the S&P 500 over the last 12 months or so. And much of that improvement over the S&P has come since October. And yeah, we really appreciate your thoughts. And again, thank you for your show.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And looking at analog devices, and it certainly is performing well. Relative strength is 93 in a strong uptrend. And there are a lot of these chip names that are doing well. Out of the tech space, chips are certainly performing the best there. They're the ones. What's happening right now is AI is driving demand for chips of all kinds, because they want these new products that can run AI, that can be part of the AI ecosystem. And a lot of old devices just can't. And so whether that's NVIDIA chips or it's lower down in sophistication, like analog devices, analog chips. Analog are very simple on-off type of chips. And typically, these are more commodity chips, meaning there's not a lot of real advanced technology in them. And so what happens in this environment, it's very tied to capacity within the industry. If there's enough capacity or too much capacity, well, companies like Analog Devices or Texas Instruments, they tend to just dump product at low prices, low margins. And so historically, profitability for names like Analog Devices goes up and down, unless there's a big demand for chips, chip boom. And we're in one right now. So to me, this is more of a trend play if you want to follow the trend. My issue is that longer term, it's not the best performer within this industry. It's good. It's a fine company, but there are better options within analog chip producers. I also worry a bit about China and their capacity to produce analog chips and drive deflation within the industry. So once again, this is to me not a long-term hold. It is a momentum play. If you want to play it as such, that's fine, but I wouldn't be buying here for a long-term hold. Now, you probably know by now, we receive listener questions from the comment section of our InvestTalk YouTube channel. So let's tackle one of those now. Alameda Vigilante says, "Daily listener, as I play my old Mahjong Club game on my phone, I'm pummeled with ads for prop trading, growing and monetize your demo trading, etc. Is prop trading a real thing? What exactly is it? Is there any reason to take it seriously?" Well, let's just say anything that you are seeing as an ad on a game probably isn't your path to riches. Okay. Now, prop trading is just short for proprietary trading. We do prop trading. We have our own proprietary models for our clients. It can mean anything, really. Now, I don't know what it's trying to push you towards, what type of strategy, but if you're not seeking it out, it's probably not right for you. Any investment that you are going to make, you need to do your own due diligence. You need to come to it on your own. You need to maybe take a small idea, dig into it, and vet it out. That's what our clients do when they come to us, talk to us, ask us questions, vet it out, and see if it's right for them. That's what everybody should do, whether you're investing in equities, futures, options, crypto, understanding the risk versus reward. And guess what? A banner ad on a game is, it's not going to tell you much. It's just going to try to sell you. And one of the number one things you have to do as an investor is to avoid the traps, avoid the pitfalls. Don't fall into the trap of marketing. Do your own research. When there's an ad, it's going to tell you all the great things. Your job is to find out the bad things. It's not going to tell you the bad things. It's like whole life, universal life, permanent life insurance. They'll tell you all the good things. They will not tell you about the bad things, the drawbacks. It is your job to understand what they are. Maybe it still works for you. There are negatives to everything. That's facts. There's downside to everything you could do with your money. If you don't understand that with your eyes wide open, then you're setting yourself up for failure. So no, I would not take it seriously. Now, on the next Invest Talk, we'll dig into this story, the grid bottleneck, AI versus utilities. Tech earnings calls have highlighted a new risk. There isn't enough electricity to power the new data centers. We'll analyze the utility supercycle as power companies raise rates to build new capacity. That story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls right now at 888-99-CHART.
No two portfolios are alike, and every investor has a unique set of circumstances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk about tax season and the potential stimulus to the overall economy. And many filers are set to see bigger refund checks versus last year. Now, the IRS started processing refunds on January 26th. And thanks to recent legislation, there's a bigger standard deduction. There's more generous maximum child tax credits, higher limits for state and local tax deduction, new $6,000 tax break for seniors, and new deduction for auto loan interest, tip income, and overtime pay. All that adds up to about $144 billion in additional money in people's pockets for 2025 taxes. On average, it's going to be a 15 to 20% increase in the average refund. Last year, the average refund for individual filers was $3,052. So that should go up for most people. But it will certainly go up for those higher income households. Problem is that it's the lower income households that have the higher propensity to spend. Households making between $30,000 and $60,000 a year spend about 30% of their refund on discretionary purchases, compared to 15% for households earning over $100,000. So while, yes, most households will get more money, that impact will be not quite as strong because it leans towards the wealthier households. And 82% of taxpayers expect refunds to be earmarked towards paying off debt or savings. Especially with what we've seen in the labor market, that would not shock me. Now, the biggest worry for probably this administration and the country is that it could also put pressure higher on inflation, which we'll probably talk about a little later. But if you look back throughout other periods, especially with economic uncertainty, where there's stimulus of some kind, and that's kind of what this is, some sort of stimulus. Maybe not as big as what you saw in 2020 and 2021, but those payments were big contributing factors to the inflation boom in the subsequent years. There's about an 18-month lag between stimulus and inflation. So when you saw the stimulus in 2020, that inflation in 2022 was mainly driven by the end of 2020 year inflation. Stimulus. And then the 2021 stimulus, there was subsequent impact there later in 2022 and into 2023. And that's why you didn't see inflation really peak until late 2023. So the impact on inflation is likely to be later this year and especially into next year. So it could give a short-term boost, but at this point, spending is pretty good. Economic growth is pretty good, especially driven by AI CapEx spending. Now, the worry is that, A, this will be very short-lived because consumer balance sheets need more repair than they did back then. There's more uncertainty about the jobs market. We were coming out of, a mini recession in COVID versus now we're kind of backsliding into one at some point, probably in the next 18 months. But that's the ultimate impact that these tax cuts will have. It'll be, I think, mildly on consumption, but majorly on inflation as we head into next year. Now let's keep things moving and pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier.
Hey, this is Randy, the truck driver from Iowa. Love the show, have learned a whole lot, although I still know practically nothing. Quick question about a 401k, which may eventually have to go through an accountant, but I thought that with all your experience, you might have come across this and be familiar with it. I'm over 70 and still working because I didn't manage money well, but I'm trying to put it away now. So what is the regulation about transferring money from a 401k, a standard 401k, to a regular IRA? Is there a limit? Do I count that as my IRA contribution for the year, or is that all? How does that work? Thank you.
Well, this is very simple. There's no limit. You can roll as big of a 401k as you have into any IRA, no tax consequences. You would just call the provider, tell them to liquidate the account. When I say provider, the 401k provider, and they'll send you a check. And then you would deposit that into a new IRA that you would open up at one of the major brokerage firms, Schwab, Fidelity, E-Trade, et cetera. And then you can invest the money in whatever you want. Now you're over 59 and a half. So even though you're still working, you can do what is called an in-service rollover. And I would definitely look at that as well. So very simple, no tax consequences, and you can do as much as you want. Does not count as your contribution for the year. You can make an additional contribution to that IRA as well. A rollover is not a contribution. Thanks for the call. Let's talk a little bit about the dollar and Kevin Warsh has been picked to lead the Fed. We'll see if he gets through confirmation. Likely will. And the good news, at least short term, is that the dollar strengthened a little bit. But there's a great quote from William Treiber. He's a long-serving Federal Reserve member. And this was to the committee in 1961. He said, quote, "We must be constantly alert to conduct our monetary and fiscal affairs so that we provide no basis for those abroad to raise questions regarding the ultimate soundness of the dollar." Does that sound like what we're doing now? Sounds like kind of what we're doing the opposite. We know that. Now, Kevin Warsh has been an advocate for that type of statement. Less QE, pressure on Congress to be more fiscally conservative, etc. And so that's why one of the reasons why the dollar has strengthened recently. And I also think it's one of the reasons why we're getting a bit of a sell-off in markets as well. The market is worried that hey, this Fed governor won't be as dovish as everyone's expecting a Trump-appointed Fed governor to be. And so America's being a little bit belligerent to its allies and upturning decades of liberal trade policy. And ultimately, that is throwing a wrench in our trust, or the trust that other countries have for us. And the greenback, the dollar, is vulnerable to weakness, and it's already underperforming. Over the last year, it's down about 10%, despite the recent strength. And the share of foreign exchange assets that are held by central banks has fallen from a high of 72% in 1999 to 57% today. But that also means there's 57% still, a lot more that could potentially be sold. Now, the diversifying into other currencies, but mainly gold. We've seen that. Now, in the last two decades, foreign ownership of American assets has tripled. After the financial crisis, it was 21% of their assets. Now it's 58%. And then we add on the AI bubble, all of that. So this is a challenge for this administration to manage, because a weaker dollar will eventually feed into inflation. And this is why you have to, frankly, be underweight U.S. assets. You have to zig while everyone is zagging. Well, everyone zagged into U.S. assets, and you don't want to be the last one to diversify out. Now, while is the dollar going to lose its reserve currency status? I don't think it will overnight, because other financial systems have to build up their robustness and their liquidity. And you see that with gold and silver right now. It went parabolic. Why? Because those markets just aren't as deep as the treasury market, for example. And so it creates more volatility. And you have to be prepared for that. But if you go look at the history of most declines of a particular currency, gold prices against that currency tend to whip wildly, both up and down, but usually in a positive direction. And I think that's what you'll continue to see going forward. So expect more weakness in the U.S. dollar. Now let's drop in another listener question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke. So I found this company, Powell Industries, ticker POWL. It checks some interesting boxes versus in the electrical equipment space, which I like. Metric-wise, I see good return on assets, equity, investments. Seems like a good company. Looking to enter a position, wondering your thoughts. I'll be listening to your answer on the podcast.
Powell Industries develops, designs, manufactures, and provide services for custom engineered products and systems, integrated power control substations, electrical houses, traditional and arc resistant distribution switching gears, medium voltage circuit breakers, etc. Think of AI data centers and the sophisticated electrical equipment that needs to be installed to make sure that they, when it gets power, it can distribute that power efficiently and correctly. And that's why their business has boomed. They only made 5 cents a share in 2021. But this year, they're supposed to make $16.18. So it's in a great place. I like the nuts and bolts. I like these type of businesses within the AI stack. I don't love the software names. It's going to be very competitive. New models are going to come out and be better than some other's previous model. But these companies have other businesses that they're taking cash flow from, Google for search and YouTube, Meta from Instagram and Facebook, Microsoft from Microsoft 365 subscriptions, Amazon from AWS and retail. Those are the big spenders on AI. And they have other all those other businesses that produce positive cash flow that they can plow into CapEx spend. But there's a good chance that most of those names are going to have negative return on that investment. And so that's eventually they'll pull back. But the longer term trajectory, I think, is still there of spend. And so expect this to be very volatile. But I like these names. Return equity here is 32%. Great balance sheet. It's a bit on the expensive side, but the momentum is good. But that's what you're playing here. Understand there will be a point, probably in the next year or two, where these AI companies, these hyperscalers, they say, you know what? Instead of spending, I don't know, $80 billion next year on CapEx, we're going to tone that down to $65 billion. $65 billion is still a lot. But remember that these are the names that are getting that money. And multiples will come down because growth will slow. Doesn't mean it's a bad business. Doesn't mean everything's going to hell in a handbasket. It's just the investments will slow and they will be impacted. So as long as you're aware of that and know that a 30% pullback is not out of the realm of possibility, but it could be from 50% higher from here. Okay. So this is a momentum play. Understand the volatility, understand the risks there, but I like these type of names over the big hyperscalers. Now, listener has a suggestion for us via YouTube. Jesse says, for the next wealth webinar, a good topic would be around precious metals and given their unique dynamics that cause them to move. And it would be good to learn more about that. Maybe even lump sum in uranium in the discussion. That's a good idea. We have been batting around the idea of our next webinar, and hard assets are a big theme right now. There's definitely some volatility in the near term, and that should be expected, but understanding how to look at them certainly is something we could dig into. And so I'll definitely take that to heart, and we'll be planning our next wealth webinar coming up very soon. So be on the lookout for that topic. Hopefully it'll be in March or April. We'll see. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein, and we have one goal here each and every weekday is help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And we're heading into our final break. So if you're going to call, you want to do that right now at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk is ready 24/7. For your finance and investment questions.
My 5-year-old son and I listen to your podcast every night, so thank you very much for putting it on.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Wondering what you thought about this REIT, if it would be a good time to get in.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
There are a few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP. On the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Rob calling. Just wanted to check in with you about VXUS, which is the Vanguard Total International Stock Indexed ETF. I was wondering what you think about this as an opportunity to put some cash aside from U.S. markets while things continue to get a little hairy politically. And what do you think a good buy-in price might be? I was thinking about adding to this when it hits its 50-week moving average. Let me know what you think. Thanks.
All right, looking at VXUS, this is the Vanguard Total International Stock Index Fund ETF. It owns, about 8,500 different names, and certainly has been outperforming U.S. equities basically since the beginning of last year. And it's more of a blend. It's not a value fund. It's not a growth fund. It has a lot of names. And as you would imagine, it's kind of in the middle. And I do think this is better than domestic equities, especially right now. The question is it the best international fund? The good thing is it's very cheap, only 5 basis point expense ratio, very, very low on that front. I don't love the breakdown of the sectors. It has only 7.5% in basic materials. I would like that to be a bit higher Energy is only about 4%. I want that to be a little bit higher. Technology is only about 15%. I think that's good that it's not that high. Industrials, 15%. Financial services, you're heavily weighted there, 23%. It's a bit high for my liking, but far better than the S&P from a sector basis and obviously from a value basis as well. So if you just want to do no research, you want to just keep it simple, you want to spread your bets amongst a lot of different names, this would be a pretty good one for that. And that is VXUS. Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's touch on productivity. Productivity, and not just here domestically. Domestic productivity is accelerating. It was at 4.1% growth in the second quarter. And in the third quarter, it accelerated to 4.9% annualized. That's a good sign. That's the fastest rate since the third quarter of 2023. However, this is not an anomaly. This is something that is happening around the world. If you look at the UK, for example, the UK PMI on Friday showed that business activity was off to the strongest starting in many years and the fastest output growth since April of 2024. But the labor market is not that hot. Firms noted declining employment. And the British PMI employment sub-index has been below expansion territory since late 2024. So if output is rising, but workers' demand is falling, that is good productivity. Increasing amount of goods and services per hour worked. That's the textbook definition of productivity growth. And it's not just the UK. It's Germany as well. Output in January was the highest in 3 months, while employment fell at the quickest rate since November of 2009. Now, what's driving this? Obviously, it's probably AI, driving innovation, cost efficiency, productivity, etc. And China as well. They're enjoying huge productivity gains in many sectors. Autos, you've seen that with BYD and how, you know, some amazing cars that they're building. We don't see them here in the US because we aren't allowed to import them. But they're taking market share around the world because they're building great cars for low prices and it's because of productivity. And they're moving up the value chain as well. And part of that is that AI story. Now, overall, this allows for lower interest rates because faster productivity is deflationary. You don't have to pay your workers as much. You're able to lower prices and maintain your profitability. So, yes, productivity is surging because of AI, but it's not just a story that's limited to the US. I'm Justin Klein, and let me remind you again about KPP Financial's parallel investing. When we make a trade for our clients, we make the same trade for ourselves. And same day, same price, same percentage. No front running, no special treatments. We invest right alongside our clients. So we share the same risk and potential for success as our clients. Learn more at investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, or check out our videos over on our YouTube channel as well and post a question over there. Please be sure to review and rate on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.